Well, good morning everyone, and welcome to our Sunday service. And we open today with words that point us to our Saviour, to our Lord Emmanuel, born as the everlasting light in this dark world of sin. It's always good to hear from you, so thank you for your messages and for keeping in touch. I've heard this week from Charles and Vicky, from Simon and Bev, from Peter and Kath, Martin and Kate, George, from Peter, and from Graham. So now, let's come to God in prayer. Our loving Father, we thank you as we approach the Christmas time. Our hearts go out to you in worship and in thanks for ever loving us to send your own Son, the Lord Jesus, to be our Saviour, so that all of us who have trusted in Jesus and will trust in Jesus will find that our sins are forgiven and our lives are cleansed from the guilt of sin, and that we are adopted into your family as children. And so we worship you, and we ask you, Holy Spirit, to to so work in our hearts and lives in the coming days, that when this fallen world just celebrates in a way that is utterly indifferent to you, O God, that your people will have hearts sincere with thanks and gratitude and praise and worship for our Lord Jesus, our Emmanuel. Amen. Well, our Bible reading today is from the Old Testament in the book of Exodus, chapter 15. And this week, George reads for us.
Today's reading is from Exodus 15, verses 1 to 21, the Song of Moses and Miriam. Then Moses and the Israelites sang this song to the Lord. I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. The horse and its rider he has hurled into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him. My father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a warrior. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his army he has hurled into the sea. The best of Pharaoh's officers are drowned in the Red Sea. The deep waters have covered them. They sank to the depths like a stone. Your right hand, O Lord, was majestic in power. Your right hand, O Lord, shattered the enemy. In the greatness of your majesty, you threw down those who opposed you. You unleashed your burning anger. It consumed them like stubble. By the blast of your nostrils, the waters piled up. The surging waters stood firm like a wall. The deep waters congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy boasted, I will pursue, I will overtake them. I will divide the spoils, I will gorge myself on them. I will draw my sword and my hand will destroy them. But you blew with your breath and the sea covered them. They sank like lead in the mighty waters. Who among the gods is like you, O Lord? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in glory, working wonders? You stretched out your right hand and the earth swallowed them. In your unfailing love you will lead the people you have redeemed. In your strength you will guide them to their holy dwelling. The nations will hear and tremble. Anguish will grip the people of Philistia. The chiefs of Edom will be terrified. The leaders of Moab will be seized with trembling. The people of Canaan will melt away. Terror and dread will fall upon them. By the power of your arm, they will be as still as a stone until your people pass by, O Lord, until the people you bought pass by. You will bring them in and plant them on the mountain of your inheritance, the place, O Lord, you made for your dwelling, the sanctuary, O Lord, your hands established. The Lord will reign for ever and ever. When Pharaoh's horses, chariots and horsemen went into the sea, the Lord brought the waters of the sea back over them, but the Israelites walked through the sea on dry ground. Then Miriam, the prophetess, Aaron's sister, took a tambourine in her hand, and all the women followed her with tambourines and dancing. Miriam sang to them, "Sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted, the horse and its rider he has hurled into the sea."
Thank you, George, for that reading from the Old Testament. And one of the things that I have really missed since being unable to meet together is singing with a full congregation. Today, as we approach Christmas, I want us to look at a song that God's people sang together. It's a victory song. Now, it was a great victory, but of course all victories in this world only last for a time. But the victory I bring to us this morning lasts forever. This chapter 15 records Moses and Miriam celebrating the amazing victory that has just happened. You remember the account, of course. God's people Israel were trapped. The raging Red Sea in front of them and Pharaoh's crack troops behind them. And it was certain death. Escape for them is impossible. But then we hear Moses saying some astonishing words to the people. He said, "Don't be afraid. The Lord will fight for you." That's what the Lord did, and brings about a mighty victory, totally destroying their enemy. So if you still have your Bible open at chapter 15, you can see this song is put in two halves. First part, looking back to what God has done for them, verses 1 to 12, and then looking forward to what God will do for them in verses 13 and 21. So, verse 1. Moses and the Israelites sang this song to the Lord. "I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. The horse and its rider he has hurled into the sea." Moses says, "I will sing to the Lord." And here's the reason. It's because the Lord is highly exalted. The Lord is over all. There's no power or opposition that is above or mightier than the Lord. So it's a good thing for God's people that God is high over all, that he is able to defeat the strongest enemy, because for the Christian it means rescue and salvation. And Moses would remember what God said to him at the burning bush, and he would see that it's all true, all that God had promised him to deliver from slavery is seen here and now in the great victory of God. And for us today, this is in stark contrast to the mushy Christmas messaging that we see all around us, the kind of gentle Jesus, meek and mild. Look at verse 3. "The Lord is a warrior. The Lord is his name." You know that true God, our God, is not the meek and mild often portrayed on our Christmas cards. He is a warrior God who fights for his people and brings victory over his own and his people's enemy. God sees his children and understands them. He sees their trouble. He sees their distress, and he fights for them. God is who we need him to be for us. And because of that, it brings a song of salvation to our hearts and voices. Verse 9. "The enemy boasted, 'I will pursue, I will overtake them. I will divide the spoils. I will gorge myself on them. I will draw my sword, and my hand will destroy them.'" This is the arrogance of the enemy. I will smash them. And you know, today, particularly at times like pandemic times or like Christmas time, you see the arrogance of the anti-God society at its most derision-laden viciousness. Well, I don't believe all that stuff. I'll break every one of God's moral laws if I want. I'll murder babies in their millions. I'll do whatever I feel is right. I'll change God's set laws of one man and one woman. I'll transgender. I'll blaspheme the name of God without any thought or any fear. I'll use the media to proclaim my atheistic views. I'll do it. I will. I'll do all of this with no fear whatsoever. And what God's people need when all the corrupt, evil, anti-God world is against them is to know that your God will fight for you and that he will overcome evil and opposition. And so the people's song ends here in verse 11. Who among the gods is like you, O Lord? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in glory, working wonders? What a great underlined verse that is. Such a great salvation. Who is like you? And the answer is, of course, no one is like our God. This was such a great salvation, yes, but there's another salvation that puts this one in the shadows. It's the salvation that Jesus brings. Before Jesus became our Saviour, we were in much greater danger than the Israelites, behind us and seeking our eternal destruction was Satan and his hordes of demons, and with us was our own rebellious, sinful nature. A vast army, tempting, deceiving, accusing, condemning us, and then our own selfishness and sinfulness. Stuck between two great enemies of death, dead in our slavery to sin and to Satan, and dead in our blindness to God and his truth. So for us, hell is inevitable until God steps in. And I wonder if we catch this again. I wonder if we catch that this is the celebration for Christmas. Listen to God's word through the prophet Isaiah in chapter 52. How beautiful are the feet of him who brings this good news to Zion. In other words, to God's people. He's coming with the great news that he will deliver them. And in chapter 53, God tells the people how he will do it. He will smash his enemies and crush his people's enemies through a servant, through a baby born. For unto us a child is born, and a son is given. And this one will be king, will take the kingdom on his shoulders. This one will take all our infirmities, all our sorrows. He's coming to save us. He will be pierced for our transgressions. He will be crushed for our iniquities. And the punishment God puts on him will bring us peace with God. The victory over the greatest enemy will take place on a wooden cross, and the victory for God and his people was announced with the words from that cross, "It is finished," and the risen champion walked out of the tomb. Christ the victor, Christ the champion. He was not weak like us, but he became weak for us. He was not sinful like us, but he became sin for us. by dying our death. He put death to death forever. God made a way for all who put their trust in Jesus to walk through that sea of God's wrath and God's judgment and death on the dry ground of forgiveness to the promised land of eternal bliss. Do you know, the Bible asks a very striking question this Christmas time. It's found there in the book of Hebrews. It asks, how shall we escape if we neglect or refuse such a great salvation? And the answer is, we won't escape on the final day of judgment if we refuse God's salvation. But if we accept this great salvation from God, we have a guaranteed future. We look forward. We're not just saved from, but we're saved to. And that's what Moses and the people look forward to in the closing verses. Verse 13, we read, in your unfailing love, you will lead the people that you have redeemed. In your strength, you will guide them to your holy dwelling. Wonderful, wonderful words. God will lead his people to God's holy dwelling. The Lord will bring them in. Verse 17, look at that. Look at verse 17. You will bring them in and plant them on the mountain of your inheritance. It's the Lord's promise to bring every one of his people in and plant them in the place that he's prepared for them. Right at the beginning in paradise after the fall, God promised to bring his people back there to a new paradise, joined to heaven, where God himself will live and walk and commune with his people. And his people will sing the salvation song to Jesus our Saviour and worship him and enjoy him forever. Jesus will return. He will return to take his people to the paradise of a new earth and heaven. And we will sing his praises for coming to rescue us when we were lost and helpless. Well, it sounds so good, but David, is it all really just a fairy story? It sounds wonderful, but it can't really happen. Look again at that verse 13. In your unfailing love, you will lead the people that you have redeemed. In your strength, you will guide them to your holy dwelling. Unfailing love and power guarantee our future. Unfailing love. It's God's love with superglue. God will bring each Christian home because he has the power. Our God is almighty. And it's all for you if you belong to Jesus. If Jesus is your saviour. So this Christmas, will it find you singing the salvation song? So let's sing this together. Stronger than I was before. From chapter 15, we read these words of Moses: I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. The Lord is my strength and my song. The Lord is my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him, my Father's God, and I will exalt him.
Thank you.